Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you to Living on Every Word.
Worship and sing a song of praise. Come into His house of joy sustained. Living on Every Word.
When God gave His Son, He gave the firstborn and He gave the best. What does that mean for us today? It means, folks, that He deserves to have the first of everything that we are. The first of everything that we give should be to Him and to Him alone. The first of everything that we spend, folks, should be unto Him. It's the scriptural principle of first fruits.
Living on every word.
Living on every word. Have your Bibles turn to Malachi. Malachi chapter 1. We come to the end of this series on becoming faithful stewards of God. And to be faithful stewards of God, we've been looking at God's principles of stewardship in our lives. I want you to notice in Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, and we've looked at a couple of these passages before in the last several weeks. But I want you to notice what he says in 6 again. A son honors his father, a servant his master. And if I'm a father, where's my honor? If I'm a master, where's my respect, says the Lord of hosts, to you, O priests, who despise my name? But you say, Lord, how have we despised your name? And God says, you're presenting defiled food upon my altar. You say, how have we defiled thee? You defile me in that you say the table, Lord, is to be despised. Lord, how have we said that? How have we said the table, Lord, is to be despised? And God says in verse 8, when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you present the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you, or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? But now will you not entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us? With such an offering on your part, will he receive any of you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? Here's the principle. The principle is we come to God with our best. Not with seconds, not with thirds, not with the end, not with the bottom of the bowl, folks. We come to Him with our best. And the Scripture says there is a correlation of bringing your best service, your best money, your best resources, your best time, your best talent. There is something connected with honoring our great God. He says, you're not honoring me. And they say, well, why aren't we honoring? Why aren't we respecting you? In what way? He says, in that you bring defiled second stuff to me. After everything else is gone, you come along and give me this little portion that is defiled, that is ugly, that is not anything that I am pleased with. The principle is in this giving, in our giving to Him, we give our best. There's a second principle in chapter 3, verse 8. We won't spend much time on it again because we've spent a lot of time on it before. But notice he says in verse 8, chapter 3, will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. And you say, well, Lord, how have we robbed thee? You've robbed me in tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I won't open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows, and then what I'll do is I'll rebuke the devourer for you so that it may not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. The first principles we honor by giving our best. And then the second principle is we become blessed when we give first to Him. When He is first in our lives, when we give this first tenth, this first tithe unto Him, the Scripture says you are blessed. You're called a delightful land. Nations will call you that. They'll say, that what a blessed land you live in. What a delightful land. What a great God who will rebuke the devourer for you, who will no longer destroy the fruits of the ground, nor the vine in the field will cast its grapes anymore. I'm going to open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. We give our best. We give our first. So you say, well, what do you mean by our first? What does it mean to give the very first of our lives? When we look at Scripture, we see it laced with this principle. In the Old Testament, we find in Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 through 2. You don't need to turn there because of lack of time this morning. But simply stated, He says to the Israelites, everything that comes out of your produce, out of your cattle, out of your sheep, every first is mine. It belongs to me. The first part, the first tithe, the first tenth. Everything that comes out belongs to me. That firstborn, he says. Notice in Numbers 3:13, where he says, for all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified to myself all the firstborn in Israel. From man to beast, they shall be mine. I am the Lord. You know, when we look at this whole thought, what does it mean about the firstborn? Well, the suggestion is this is a type and a shadow, an illustration of the firstborn, the Lord Jesus Christ. When God gave His Son, He gave the firstborn and He gave the bestborn. Amen? He gave the first and He gave the best. You notice in Colossians 1:15, the Scripture speaks of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by Him and for Him. For who? The one who is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Hebrews 1:5 says, for to which of the angels did He ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten thee. And again, I'll be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. And when He again brings, here it is, the firstborn into the world, He says, and let all the angels of God worship Him. And it says in Psalm 89:27, I also shall make Him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. God gave to you and me the firstborn, and He gave the best. What does that mean for us today? It means, folks, that we give to Him everything of our lives that comes out first. In Proverbs 3:9, the first of all of your produce belongs to God. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. We've been talking in Malachi 3 about the tithe. It's the first tenth that belongs to God. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 31, if you would. 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verses 1 through 5 speaks of this. The children of Israel, during the reign of the kings, had become rebellious. Hezekiah came to the throne and changed all that. And in chapter 31, after they're seeing some great mighty things, verses 1 through 5, we find them, first of all, destroying all the idols of the land. Scripture says, when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah. They broke the pillars in pieces, cut down the asherim, pulled down the high places and the altars throughout Judah and Benjamin, as well as in Ephraim and Manasseh, until they had destroyed them all. Then all the sons of Israel returned to their cities, each to his possession. And then Hezekiah appointed the divisions of the priests and the Levites by their divisions, each according to his service, both the priests and the Levites, for burnt offerings, for peace offerings, to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the camp of the Lord. He also appointed the king's portion of his goods for the burnt offerings, namely for the morning and the evening burnt offerings for the Sabbaths and for the new moons and for the fixed festivals, as it was written in the law of the Lord. And he also commanded the people who lived in Jerusalem to give, now watch this, the portion due to the priests and the Levites, that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. And as soon as the order spread, in other words, the order, the command for them to give due the portion that is due, as soon as they hear this order, the sons of Israel provided in abundance. Here it is, the first fruits of grain, the first fruits of new wine, the first fruits of oil, honey, and all the produce of the field. Here it is, they brought it in abundantly, the tithe of all. Folks, the tithe is to be the first tenth that comes out of your money. The tithe is to be the first tenth. Folks, he deserves the first, and he deserves the best. It's according to the Word of God. It's according to the Scripture. We don't pay our bills, and then whatever's left over, give him a tenth of that. We give him a tenth of all. And then, folks, and then we are prepared to move on and to give even more to our great God. A 10% is just a beginning place. It is just a beginning. Because, folks, when he gave the firstborn, You got all of Jesus. You didn't get a tenth of Him. You got all of Him. Folks, listen to me. When we look at these Scriptures, when we look at the Word, it is Jesus first. It's the kingdom principle of first fruits. The first always belongs to God in Scripture, which means that God is always first. And I look at this fourth point, and I look at it and I say, you know, this is one of the most important ones here. The first of our attention belongs to God. The first of our attention. Matthew 6:33 says, you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The spiritual kingdom principle of first fruits means that He deserves to have the first of everything that we are. The first of everything that we give should be to Him and to Him alone. The first of everything that we spend, folks, should be unto Him. It's the scriptural principle of first fruits. When we look at Scripture, we see a couple of illustrations from Scripture, a couple of stories that speak of the first fruit. And one of them is the first fruit offering of Abel. I want you to turn to there, if you would. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. We have the first fruit offering of Abel. Genesis chapter 4. Now the man, verse 1, had relations with his wife Eve. And she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. And again she gave birth to his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. And here you have the first offering. It's Cain. Cain has the first offering. And then Abel follows. Cain gives, the Scripture says, from the produce of the ground. And Abel on his part also, here it is, brought the firstlings of his flock. And of their, here it is, fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and his offering, He had no regard. He had no regard whatsoever for Cain's, but for Abel's offering, Scripture says that God accepted it. Why did He accept that? Here's the suggestion first, folks. God accepted this offering because it was His first. It was His best, fat portions. And folks, He gave it by faith. He gave it by faith. You see, folks, when you give the first fruits, it's a faith issue here. Because you're thinking, here I get my check, and here I get my payment, and all of a sudden, I'm going to give the first. Well, am I going to have anything left over? See, is there a possibility I'm going to have any to be able to pay my bills? I mean, think about the shepherds who heard this law first. And here's this new shepherd, he's going into business. He has all these ewes, right? And they're pregnant with their firstborn. And he's got to give them all to God? Well, folks, if he's following God and he's following His Word, yes. It's an act of faith, see. It's a faith statement that says, I'm going to give these little firstborn lambs unto my God. I'm going to sacrifice them to Him because He's called forth for them. And when Abel gave his first, when he gave his best, he was giving it by faith that God would provide everything that he needed to live this life and to see his business of shepherding successful. Notice in Hebrews 11:4 it says, by faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, and God's testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he is still speaking. Folks, Abel is still speaking. When he gave the first, the best, and he gave it by faith, he still speaks through our giving of our first and our best. And folks, giving by faith. When I look at Cain's life, and I look at the first offering that was ever given, the Scripture says that when God rejected his offering, the Scripture says in verse 5 that Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? You know, if you're angry today, that's a good question. Why am I angry? Why am I so mad? Why am I so bitter? See, what happens is God says, I can't take your sacrifice, Cain. And what happened was, and you know, you've heard me say it 100 times, you'll hear me say it 100 times more, Cain's sponge was squeezed. And you know the illustration. If you squeeze a sponge, what comes out of it? Whatever's in it. And Cain is squeezed because here is his brother who God has accepted this offering, and now God has accepted his, so he is squeezed. And what comes out? He comes out with anger. His countenance falls. And the scripture says that God addresses him to him, and he says, "Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you don't do well, then sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, man, but you better master it." And Cain told Abel, his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and he killed him. This sacrifice was rejected because Cain's offering was not his first, was not his best, and it was given with harbored sin in his life. It was given with harbored sin in his life. Folks, when we think about giving, as we've talked about before, is I give with a pure heart, and I make sure that there is not anyone in this life that has anything against me, folks. That I come before Him and I offer Him these offerings with a pure and holy heart, believing the promises of God. Cain did not do that, and Cain's offering was rejected. When you look at 1 John chapter 3, and please turn to this one, 1 John chapter 3, you'll notice what the Scripture says about this whole principle of Cain's life and about the lack of his sacrifice and the anger in his heart. Chapter 3, verse 10. 1 John 3, 10. "By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious." Now, folks, he's going to talk about Cain and he's going to talk about his brother. And, folks, he's talking about two different kinds of people. He's talking about a child of God and a child of the devil. He says they're obvious. Anyone who is not practicing righteousness, he is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. Because this is the message which you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. Children of God, children of the devil, Cain is of the evil one. He kills his brother. And why did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil. He had this sin harboring in his life. His deeds were evil. He had this spirit of anger and this spirit of murder in his life. The scripture says that Abel's life, his deeds were righteous. Verse 13, "Do not marvel, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life." Listen to what we said. We know that we're Christians because we love the brethren. Isn't that something? We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. We love one another. That's how we know. Not because I got something stamped in my Bible when I was 8. It's because we love the brethren. We love one another. That's how we know we've passed out of death into life. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. And then we go to the next passage where we saw a couple of weeks ago, "And whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We shall know by this that we are of the truth." And this is where we get our assurance of salvation. We shall assure our hearts before Him. I want to ask you, what kind of lifestyle of offering are you giving unto God? Is it the first, the best, given by faith? Or is it an offering, folks, that's not your best, that's not the first, and it's given with this sin in your life? We must heed the example of Abel, folks. The scripture says that he is still speaking. Every time you give your best, every time you give your first, every time you give in faith, he is still speaking. The principle is still alive. Folks, what is the habit of your giving? Is it the best and the first, or is God getting seconds of your life and thirds and just the bottom of the barrel? We see the first fruit offering of Abel, but we also see the first fruit violation of Achan in Joshua chapter 7. I want you to turn there for just a moment. Here's a great principle here, a great illustration of first fruits. The children of Israel are going in to the promised land. They have been 40 years in the desert, and they're moving into the promised land, and God is giving them instructions. And this instruction is, listen, you're going to go over to Jericho, and you're going to defeat them. This city is yours, this great city of Jericho. But there's an instruction. Verse 17 of chapter 6, he says this, "The city shall be under the ban." What does that mean? Well, this is what it means. Notice what he goes on to say. "It and all that is in it belongs to the Lord." He's saying, listen, Israel, it doesn't belong to you. We're going to go in and we're going to walk in victory. But I'm going to tell you, he says, in your victory, these spoils of war are not yours. This is the first city that we're going to overtake, and the first always belongs to God. It always belongs to God. And therefore, he says, listen, when you go into this city, you don't touch anything in it. The gold, the silver, he says, you don't take them. And this is what he says, "Only Rahab the harlot and all who are with her and in the house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But as for you, only keep yourselves from the things under the ban, lest you covet them and take some of the things under the ban, so you would make the camp of Israel accursed and you would bring trouble on it. But all the silver, the gold, and articles of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of God." So the people shouted, the priests blew the trumpets. It came about when the people heard the sound of the trumpet that the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down. It came tumbling down, folks, flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed everything in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. Now there's something that happened. There was one man named Achan who violated the command of God. They've won this great victory. They're going to go to the next city. The city in chapter 7 is the city of Ai, Ai. You know, they go and scout this out, and they come back and say, "Hey, just send 3,000 men. This is going to be a breeze. I mean, we just got this big, huge city. Now we're going to come to this city, and we're going to annihilate it. So all we need is 3,000 men. That's all you need to do. Don't trouble anybody else." So they pick 3,000 men out, and they go into the city of Ai. And you know what? They're chased out of town. They have men killed, they have casualties, and all of a sudden they're grieving, and Joshua's grieving, and he's saying, "God, what have you done? Our people are becoming scared now, they're becoming frightened. Why have you sent us out here? Have you sent us out here to die?" And God says, "Listen, Joshua, what's happened is someone has transgressed." And he doesn't say someone, verse 11 of chapter 7, he says, "Israel has sinned, and they have transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. And they have even taken some of the things under the ban and have both stolen and deceived." Who did they steal from? They stole from God. They stole from God. Because God said, "This silver, this gold is mine. This first fruit's mine." Listen, Israel, when you go into the land, you're going to get to go in and you're going to get the spoils of war. You're going to have silver. You're going to have gold. You're going to have sheep. You're going to have oxen. You're going to have cattle, but not from Jericho. Because Jericho is to be the first fruits that are given to me. Well, Scripture says the children of Israel, in chapter 12, the sons of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies, for they have been accursed. In other words, he says, listen, these folks cannot stand before their enemies as long as they have taken the first fruits of God and spent it on their own pleasures. You can't have victory, he says. Rise up, verse 13, consecrate the people. Say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, he said, there are things under the ban in your midst. You cannot stand before your enemies until you have removed the things under the ban from your midst. I got to stop here. Because I'll tell you, this is a very critical, important passage of Scripture. He is saying, as long as you steal from God, you will never, ever stand before your enemies. You won't stand before the enemy of lust, bitterness, anger, heartache. You will not walk in victory as long as you take the things which God has instructed that says that is definitely, absolutely His. This is an important principle. Why do you think He says when you give this tithe and you give the first fruits, then all of a sudden the destroyer goes away? And all of a sudden you got grapes on your vine and they're not shedding anymore. And the stuff, the fruit that's fallen down, just rotten, is no longer falling down. I mean, there's victory in the camp now and there's produce in the camp because we have obeyed our God. This is the principle of first fruits, folks. And it's a wonderful principle because, folks, when we look at these principles and you honor and respect God by your giving, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed beyond measure because you give the first and the best. Now, notice what happens to Achan. Scripture says in the morning, you shall, verse 14, you shall come near by your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes by lot shall come near by families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come near households, and then the household which the Lord shall take shall come near man by man, and it shall be that the one who is taken with the things under the ban shall be burned with fire, he and all that belongs to him, because he's transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he's committed a disgraceful thing in Israel. So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel near by tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. Now Joshua doesn't know this. He doesn't know who this guy is yet. Then the family of Judah is near, and he takes the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites near man by man, and Zabdi was taken, and then he brought his household near man by man, and then Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah from the tribe of Judah, was taken. And the Lord said to Achan, my son, I implore you, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give praise to him, and tell me now what you have done. Don't hide it from me. And so Achan answered Joshua and said, truly I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle from Shinar, and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold, 50 shekels in weight, I coveted them and I took them. Who did he take them from? He took them from God. He took them from God. He robbed God that day. I took them. I stole them. And they're concealed in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and behold, it was concealed in his tent with the silver underneath it. And they took them from inside the tent and brought them to Joshua and to all the sons of Israel, and they poured them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the mantle, the bar of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that belonged to him, and they brought them up to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. And all Israel stoned them with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones that stands to this day. And watch, the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of the place has been called the Valley of Achor, the Valley of Trouble to this day. Stop and think about your trouble. The valleys of trouble you have gone through in this life. Could it be? And I'm not saying this guarantee, but could it not be because you don't give the first and the best? You haven't given the first or the best. And you'll look at the scattered things of your life and you wonder why. And it's not simply because you haven't given the tithe or you haven't given. It's because you haven't given God first place in your life. Folks, these are just illustrations of a life given to God, where He gives His best and He gives the first. Why? Because the very seed of God abides in Him. And the seed of God always gives first and always gives best. And folks, that's how we reflect our great God. That's how we're conformed into His image. It's because we give first and we give the best. Are you doing that today? Are you illustrating the life of Abel, the life of God? Or is your life a more of an illustration of a Cain or an Abel? Which is it? Sons of God, sons of the enemy. Do you see how serious and how important this series is? Because it all points back to my relationship with God. And is He first in my life? Am I seeking Him first?
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929 or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Just as man does.